If you've ever wondered why Amazing Grace is the national anthem of funerals, or pondered the state of your eternal soul after you die, the Lutheran Witness has got you covered. Check out the June-July issue of The Lutheran Witness to learn more about death, dying, heaven, and hell. Not a subscriber? Visit cph.org/trylutheranwitness for a special offer, $6.99 for 6 digital or print issues. The Lutheran Witness, interpreting the contemporary world from a Lutheran perspective.
Creating a genderless marriage institution would have to break down the connection between parenthood and biology.
But as I was growing up, how often did I hear marriage preached about in any substantial way? Not often, and that's probably due to the divorce culture that made us probably quiet about teaching what marriage is and why it matters.
If the Lord could save Peter, who denied his Lord 3 times, then he can save you. If the Lord can save that one who persecuted the very church of God and Christ himself, consenting to the martyrdom of his saints, then he can save you.
When driving to and from work through the Las Vegas Valley and den of iniquity, I always hit the jackpot by listening to Issues, etc.
This is the headline from Religion News Service. Sounds optimistic. The picture is even set perfectly there in St. Mary's City Church in Wittenberg, Germany, the site, well, the epicenter of the Lutheran Reformation in 1517. Reformed churches endorse Catholic-Lutheran accord on key Reformation dispute. There they are, signing their assent. This would be, in this case, and there are more to come, in this case, the World Communion of Reformed Churches, representing about 80 million Reformed Christians worldwide, signing a document that was first signed by the Lutheran World Federation and the Vatican back in 1999, the Joint Declaration on the Doctrine of Justification. Is it really true that Lutherans and Catholics now agree on that key central biblical doctrine and the key doctrine in the 16th century Reformation, that the dispute is over and now other Protestants are jumping on as well? We're going to be talking about that endorsement of the Joint Declaration on the Doctrine of Justification. Dr. Al Culver will join us here in the first half hour of Issues, Etc. Greetings and welcome. We're coming to you live on this Friday afternoon, July the 7th. I'm Todd Wilkin. Thanks for tuning us in. After our conversation with Dr. Culver, Dr. Robert Bennett of Luther Academy joins us. He's written several books on demon possession and on exorcism. We're going to talk about a report from a Christian think tank on the increase in exorcisms in the United Kingdom. Then Dr. Jennifer Roback-Morse joins us to talk about, well, the results of a rather reputable and large survey that show that extramarital sex is higher among older Americans than younger Americans. That's kind of backwards is the way we usually think about it, but 20% of plus 55 Americans said in the survey that they had extramarital sex at least once in the last year, and that's more than their younger counterparts. We'll talk about that with Dr. Jennifer Roback-Morse. Then we'll spend some time with Alexander De Sanctis talking about progressivism and religion. She's William F. Buckley Fellow in Political Journalism at the National Review Institute, and we'll round everything off on this Friday afternoon, as we like to do on Friday afternoons, with Issues, Etc. Soundbite of the Week. The 4 soundbites we have to play for you, we will play, and then you give us a call, 1-877-623-6943. Send us an email, talkback@issuesetc.org, a tweet @issuesetc, or go to our Facebook fan page, facebook.com/issuesetc, and vote for one of those soundbites to be Issues, Etc. Soundbite of the Week. Joining us to talk about an endorsement of the Joint Declaration on the Doctrine of Justification by the World Communion of Reformed Churches, Dr. Al Culver. He's a regular guest director of church relations for the Lutheran Church Missouri Synod and executive secretary of the International Lutheran Council. Al, welcome back to Issues, Etc.
Thanks, Todd.
This is how it reads in the press: the World Communion of Reformed Churches, that, by the way, represent 80 million members of Congregational Presbyterian Reformed United and Uniting and Waldensian Churches. This is the statement that they made recently after they signed on to the 1999 Joint Declaration on the Doctrine of Justification. We rejoice together that the historical doctrinal differences on the Doctrine of Justification no longer divide us. What's your analysis and your reaction to that statement?
Well, Todd, I think it depends on two things. Do you understand justification as Lutherans have historically understood it, or are you understanding justification as it's being redefined in this modern ecumenical era?
So how did this 1999 document, the Joint Declaration on the Doctrine of Justification, how did it define the doctrine of justification?
Well, it talks about by grace through faith alone. And what has happened inside the Lutheran World Federation and also in the WCRC is that they have redefined justification to be connected with social issues. It's connected with how one views oneself before God. So you realize you no longer have to earn his favor. So you're okay basically where you're at now. A little bit later, the WCRC will say, we have now connected the doctrine of justification to justice issues, which fits the modern liberal progressive secular movement.
So this is not the doctrine of justification as carefully, and we ought to add, centrally articulated in the Lutheran Reformation. How does this then, what does it do, especially on the 500th anniversary of the Reformation as marked to 1517, Luther's posting the 95 Theses, what does this do to that particular, what is its view of the Reformation?
Well, I think a simple answer to that, Todd, is that the doctrine of justification as uncovered or rediscovered by Luther in the Reformation is once again being hidden over or clouded over to fit a modern contemporary agenda. So what does it do is it further hides what the actual doctrine of justification is. One of the reasons I had trouble answering your first question in one sense was it says we rejoice that that the historical differences on the doctrine of justification no longer divide us. And in one sense, that may well be true because they no longer have that historical doctrine of justification and they are agreeing on what they call justification today.
Okay, that's an important point to make, that they are agreeing on something called the doctrine of justification. But the real question is, as you posed before, is it the one articulated by Martin Luther and others in the Reformation?
And I would say it's not. It's not the same doctrine. It has taken on a different flavor. Now, it has themes from the doctrine of justification. They will say by grace alone. Now, what do they mean by grace alone? They'll say we cannot earn our favor before God. And then that becomes an excuse or a justification, if you will, for virtually every modern position, from same-sex marriage to accepting people of differences of different faiths. They also note that what they are talking about is we have now a reconciled diversity, and these particular confessions that were made in the 16th century just represent a context for that time. And so they now can come together really without discussing any doctrinal differences because each of these are contextually based and we no longer fit into that context.
Is it important, and I think this was a big point back in 1999 when the Joint Declaration was originally signed by both the Vatican and the Lutheran World Federation, and thereby its member churches. Does it matter that rather than being called an agreement, this was usually described as a consensus?
Well, I think consensus is another way that people are able to address this contextual differences. I think in 1999, the landscape was a little bit different. And this document in 1999 was written specifically for Rome. And it's in particular that the Lutheran World Federation is getting extra mileage out of this doctrine of justification by getting the World Methodist Council and the WCRC and the Anglicans Communion later this year to sign on to it. I don't think that was ever the original intention. And so the original intention of the consensus was the most that Rome and the Lutheran World Federation could do is come to a consensus about the topic of justification. And they've been able to get some extra mileage out of it with these Reformed and Anglican groups.
So in that sense, the Roman Catholic Church in 1999 was more honest than how this document is now being used today.
Well, I think that's true. On the other hand, I think if you look at the WCRC, they are composed of the most liberal Reformed churches in the world, much like the Lutheran World Federation tends to be composed of the more liberal Lutheran churches. And they're all based in Europe, and they tend to have this progressive liberal mentality. So in their minds, they may actually be agreeing on something called justification, at least how they define it now.
What is the goal of this? You had mentioned this is just the tip of the iceberg. Next comes a large global Methodist body. Then the Anglican Communion is no small potatoes here. We're talking about representing almost 100 million Christians worldwide. What's the goal of all this consensus and agreement, ostensibly on the doctrine of justification?
Well, I think the ultimate goal is they are seeking some visible unity of the church. There are people in the ecumenical movement who truly, I would say, godly desire to have churches come together. There is also this great desire in the ecumenical community to have these churches come together. And so that is the ultimate goal. In the second part of this article, they talk about this Wittenberg Agreement. And one of the ideas for that is that the World Council Reformed Churches and the Lutheran World Federation would begin holding joint general assemblies. So they're talking about, in one sense, merging these churches together.
Would that presuppose, if that's an organizational merger, would that presuppose then an ecclesiastical one, both in terms of communion fellowship and the sharing of clergy or even of bishops?
Well, I think many of the more liberal and more reformed churches are already on that path. You have the exchange of clergy among some Lutheran churches and some Reformed churches. You know, at least humanly speaking, I think the thing that will challenge them the most is how to merge the funds and who controls the funding. At least historically, that's never worked out too well. But they certainly seem to be setting themselves up for the exchange of clergy in the not-too-distant future.
And on Rome's side of this, are they all in for this? On the so-called Protestant side, they're kind of merger-happy. It's an ecumenical move toward that. Is Rome as cheery in its outlook about that kind of unity in the near future?
Well, I think the goal of Rome may be slightly different. The Reformation represents a great schism. And if you notice the language of most of the discussions this year of 2017, they're calling them commemorations. The Reformation is not being celebrated. You commemorate something that is dead. So Rome is commemorating the Reformation. And one of the things that these discussions do is it does show how there have been legitimate changes between the churches. I don't think you can say Rome's position is exactly the same as it was in the 16th century. Rome has, in some areas, maybe come closer to Lutheran views. At the same time, Rome is very patient, and the Protestant churches are starting to come undone. So as Rome comes closer, it can provide the home for displaced Protestants as they end up leaving mainstream Protestantism.
We're talking with Dr. Al Culver, Director of Church Relations for the Lutheran Church Missouri Synod and Executive Secretary of the International Lutheran Council, about an endorsement of the Joint Declaration on the Doctrine of Justification by the World Communion of Reformed Churches. When we come back, we're going to talk about those who either vocally or through their silence dissent from the Joint Declaration on the Doctrine of Justification. Stay tuned.
This is the work of the Holy Spirit to say that not only has Jesus died, but he's died for you. It's not only that he's risen, but he's risen for you. He isn't ascended into heaven just in some sort of abstraction, but he's ascended into heaven for you to intercede for you.
Pastor Brian Wolfmiller talking about his presentation at the 2017 Fall Issues Etc. Making the Case Conference.
And that work of the Holy Spirit to press the events of the gospel, of the work of God, into our own hearts and into our own ears and into our own conscience comes through fantastically with those words for you.
You can meet and hear Pastor Brian Wolfmiller making the case for the for you of Christianity at our Fall Making the Case Conference, Friday, November 10th and Saturday, November 11th in Houston, Texas. You'll find a list of speakers, topics, and registration information at issuesetc.org. The Issues Etc. Making the Case Conference, November 10th and 11th in Houston.
Lutheran, it's not a slogan, it's a confession. You're listening to Issues Etc.
Stuck in traffic? Waiting in a line at the grocery store? Do better than scrolling through pictures of your aunt's chai latte and your friend's distraught statuses regarding the baseball game on Facebook. Download the digital version of The Lutheran Witness and get your theological fix instead. Not a subscriber? Visit cph.org/trylutheranwitness for special offer, $6.99 for 6 issues. The Lutheran Witness, interpreting the contemporary world from a Lutheran perspective.
What does it mean that Jesus Christ is our great high priest, the greater Moses, and the fulfillment of Old Testament prophecies? The New Concordia Commentary on Hebrews is the Issues Etc. book of the month. It's written by regular guest Dr. John Kleinig. Browse before you buy at issuesetc.org or call Concordia Publishing House 1-800-325-3040. Your pastor would deeply appreciate the New Concordia Commentary on Hebrews, 1-800-325-3040. Welcome back to Issues Etc. I'm Todd Wilkin. We're talking about an endorsement of the Joint Declaration on the Doctrine of Justification by the World Communion of Reformed Churches. Dr. Al Culver is our guest. Have you considered returning to school this fall? No matter what your age might be, maybe it's just time to go back to school and get an associate's or a bachelor's or a master's degree. Concordia University, Wisconsin has 50 online educational options, and they'll even waive your application fee when you use the promo code ISSUES. Learn more by clicking the Concordia University Wisconsin logo at issuesetc.org and be sure to enter the coupon code ISSUES, Lifelong Lutheran Learning, Concordia University Wisconsin online. Al, let's talk a little bit about those who dissent, either by their silence or by specific statements from the Joint Declaration on the Doctrine of Justification.
Well, I was just in Germany last week, and I met with a group of state church pastors who would see themselves in dissent from their state church and perhaps of the Joint Declaration. And they are often lonely individuals. Sometimes they are unable to come over, let's say, to another church for pension reasons. They may lose their status, their congregation. I'm not saying that those are reasons one shouldn't make a confession, but at the same time, humanly, you can understand why people are reluctant to make that move. And so there are dissenting voices out there. Sometimes they have a hope of influencing their church body from the inside. And more often, what you hear frequently now is how they want to form a movement within their church, maybe something like the Mission Diocese that emerged out of the Scandinavian churches.
What would you say to someone who says, well, I just picked up the paper and good news for the 500th anniversary of the Reformation. It looks as though after the Lutherans did in 1999, now some other Protestants, perhaps representatives of all of them, are finally coming to agreement on the doctrine of justification. What would your response be?
Well, my first thought is a popular phrase today, fake news, but you'd have to talk with them and take time to explain that this is an agreement on a document that at least initially there is no visible unity between these churches because of this document. The Reformed and the Lutherans are going to remain separated. And that I think you'd have to actually begin to talk to them, what is the doctrine of justification? And say, this is not what the church has agreed to.
There are also, in fact, not just individual dissenters to these agreements. There are entire church bodies, denominations, communions that know better. Tell us a little bit about, especially on the Lutheran side.
On the Lutheran side, it's represented by the churches that belong to the International Lutheran Council, with the Missouri Synod being the largest church. None of the churches in the International Lutheran Council have accepted the Joint Declaration on Justification. And our churches, individual church bodies within there, have written documents explaining why we cannot accept this position. In many ways, these churches are among some of the last Lutheran churches, I think, that express the historic doctrine of justification as it was talked about in the 16th century. Today, most of the just talk of justification is tied to social issues. And that's not what the doctrine of justification is primarily about. The doctrine of justification is that Christ Jesus has died for you, and because he has died, he has taken away your sins, and all the favor that we have from God is because of Christ Jesus and nothing because of our own works or our own being. And this is not the message that is clearly being taught. Even in this Wittenberg witness, one of the first things they begin to talk about is how race and ethnicity and class and inequality and gender bias have separated our churches. And so for them, the signing of this joint declaration is, we're bringing together race and ethnicity and gender together into our churches. It's all about social issues, not about eternal salvation.
What can communions like the Lutheran Church Missouri Synod, its partners there in the International Lutheran Council, especially during the 500th anniversary of the Reformation, when at least for a time we might have a chance of having the ear of the media, and in this case, Religion News Service is probably the biggest wire service people are going to pick this story up from. What can these church bodies do, not only to correct the record here, but to emerge as a voice of the Reformation, as you said, perhaps the last voices of the Reformation still existing today?
Well, I think we have to take every opportunity we can to confess. I know that as some of our churches and circuits are having Reformation celebrations, and the more that we can publicize those and get out what the message of justification is. Some of our partner churches around the world are hosting events. Some of them are quite large, like Guatemala will be having one in their national theater with their president. So in a predominantly Catholic country, they have the opportunity to present at least what Lutherans believe in terms of the Reformation. So hopefully we will be able to speak clearly on this and maybe get some of the attention of the media to say, well, there's another group of Lutherans here that are not insignificant in this world, and we can present what we believe and teach, and perhaps respectfully why we dissent from this JDDJ.
As we approach the 500th anniversary of the Lutheran Reformation, Dr. Culver, what advice, basic advice, would you give us when reading news stories like this historic event on the Joint Declaration on the Doctrine of Justification?
Well, I would read them with a grain of salt, or at least recognize that it's not the churches that still hold to the confessional, traditional, historic view from the 16th century. And maybe talk to someone who is more familiar with this to explain the differences and what's going on. I think the main thing that is these mainstream churches, and one of the reasons they capture the news is because their message is so focused on the progressive agenda of today of gender identity and race, and they are on justice issues, and that's partly why they're interested. For most of the history of the world, people have not actually been interested in theology. They've been interested in things that affect this world.
Finally, then, why is the historic biblical doctrine of justification, as articulated, as you say, uncovered again in the Lutheran Reformation? Why is it still central to the Christian faith?
Well, it is central to Christian faith because it is the how we have salvation. Yeah. Salvation comes through Christ Jesus, who forgave our sins with no merit of our own. And people say the modern man is not interested in this question, but the question maybe we can't ask the question the same way Martin Luther did. Martin Luther was seeking, is there a gracious God? And people may be pushed back a little further today. Some people are wondering, is there a God? But once you connect them with a God, the question comes up, how do I know he's happy with me? The other piece of this is people are always trying to justify themselves to one another and even to themselves. So you decide what clothing to wear to work, and you wonder, do people like what they see? And if someone makes a comment that isn't totally positive, oh, well, you know, it was the only outfit I had available today, or something like that. We are always justifying ourselves to one another. So this issue is really fundamental to the human being, even if we don't always recognize that.
Dr. Al Culver is Director of Church Relations for the Lutheran Church Missouri Synod, and he's Executive Secretary of the International Lutheran Council. Al, thank you very much for your time.
Thank you, Todd.
On the other side of the break, it's a report from a Christian think tank on the increase in exorcisms in the United Kingdom. Dr. Robert Bennett, author of several books on demon possession and exorcism, will be our guest.
St. Jacobi Lutheran Church in Shawnee, Wisconsin has a special guest each and every week. It isn't you, but it is Jesus Christ. He is a guest, and he is also the one who comes to serve you with his preached word and his broken body and shed blood. You are invited to be served by Jesus on Saturday evening at 6:30 and Sunday morning at 9 a.m. Visit www.stjakobi.org for more information.
Children are a heritage from the Lord, but what of those who've not been given the gift of a child? The cross of barrenness affects not only childless couples, it affects the family, friends, and pastors who love and care for them. I'm Katie Schuerman, and I'm partnering with Emmanuel Press to publish the second edition of my book, He Remembers the Barren, a story about the hope and contentment found only in Christ, no matter the cross we bear. Visit emmanuelpress.us to learn more. emmanuelpress.us.
People are talking about the Lutheran Federal Credit Union. Lutheran FCU was created solely to serve LCMS workers, families, and entities, and proceeds benefit LCMS organizations. Lutheran FCU offers deposit accounts and loans and has service access at thousands of branches and ATMs nationwide. Lutheran FCU also offers members Christian-based lending advice for new loans and refinancing, minimal account fees, and superior personalized service. Check them out at LutheranFCU.org.
LCMS Rural and Small Town Mission exists to support and encourage congregations in rural and small town settings. In partnership with LCMS districts, RSTM is uniquely positioned to make a major impact in revitalization support, community engagement and outreach training, congregational partnership development, and worker support, through providing and developing resources geared specifically to rural and small-town congregations. Check us out at lcms.org/RSTM or give us a call at our office. We're here to help.
Real Reformation Radio. You're listening to Issues Etc.
Thanks to the following congregations for standing with us by joining the Issues Etc. 300. St. Paul's Lutheran, Coleman, Alabama. Faith Lutheran, Waterloo, Iowa. Emmanuel Lutheran, Everett, Washington. Lake George Lutheran Chapel, Fremont, Indiana. Shepherd of the Hills Lutheran, Snohomish, Washington. Faith Lutheran, Buford, South Carolina. Trinity Lutheran, Great Falls, Montana. Mount Calvary Lutheran, Westview, Pennsylvania. St. Paul Lutheran, International Falls, Minnesota. Redeemer Lutheran, Marshalltown, Iowa. Trinity and Grace Lutheran, Bear Creek, Wisconsin. St. Paul Lutheran, Sevierville, Tennessee. Good Shepherd Lutheran, Sherman, Illinois. And Zion Lutheran, Dexter, Iowa. Find out how your church can support this worldwide outreach by including Issues Etc. in your mission or advertising budget. Just go to issuesetc.org, click support, and print a one-page flyer. The Issues Etc. 300.